buy it today.
Ted Kennedy passing away from brain cancer at the age of 77. That was just announced a short while ago. That's where we begin on America's Night. Hey, everybody. Hope that your week has started off well. We know that it was last May that the doctors came up with that diagnosis for Kennedy. He is one of the longest serving senators, of course, in U.S. history, and he had that malignant brain tumor. And I think a lot of people were obviously surprised when it was first announced, but knew lately that things weren't looking good for Kennedy. He was going downhill, and a lot of the family members were called to his side. The interesting thing about the Ted Kennedy passing is ultimately with the Kennedys now, there are still some involved in politics, but he was the most high profile of the Kennedys involved in politics. None have risen to that level of the former president, John, of course, F. Kennedy, or Senator Bobby Kennedy, you know, and then Senator Ted Kennedy, too. And it's the famous family, of course, known for lots of tragedy, the president being assassinated in 63, Bobby Kennedy shot while campaigning in 68, and Joe Kennedy, a pilot, killed in World War II as well. They also had a sister that was killed in a plane crash. So Ted Kennedy, who recently finished his memoir, which is supposed to come out in a couple of weeks, was an absolutely a man who was extremely liberal, one of the most liberal of the senators in the Senate. And that is the reason why some people say, people who admired and liked Kennedy's style, that's why they say they became liberal Democrats, right? But Ted Kennedy certainly was not without lots and lots of controversy either. There were a ton of things that surround the Kennedy family, and what legacy he leaves behind, I think, would depend on the point of view that you have politically and where you would place him ultimately, I think, in history. Certainly family-wise, just like the Bushes, it's one of those legacy things. They all go down in history. His big thing was health care reform. That was his passion. That's what he was pushing, you know, decades ago. So now he won't be around to certainly to follow that through. I think what he was, one of the speeches he was best known for was the one that he delivered at the 1980 Democratic Convention. We'll see if we can get a little bit of that for you. It's "The Dream Shall Never Die" that he was known for. So healthcare reform, again, was the big hope of Ted Kennedy. When he wanted healthcare reform, he wanted healthcare reform for everyone. So, of course, public option was something that Kennedy wanted to see. We know that the town hall meetings, many of the people are coming out, be it now physicians and other people who are fighting not to have that happen. That I think many people agree with what I'm saying. I think we need reform, and I'd like health care to be affordable and offered to everyone in the country. But I think there should be reforms in the insurance industry. I think there should be reforms in the cost, and that is the big part of the problem, certainly. And then the taboo thing that people don't want to talk about, but illegal immigration has been incredibly costly to the healthcare industry. I mean, incredibly costly to so many hospitals, particularly in border areas. It's just a reality of what's happened because gone unchecked for decades and decades and decades, even though there were laws on the books, that's now what's happened, and it's pushed up the cost to pay for those that were being treated without having health care insurance. Here's a little snippet from Tom Coburn. He had another town hall meeting. He's had a bunch of them in Oklahoma. A woman, very, very emotional, reacting to something that's happening in her personal life as she is pushing to have a health care and why her health care doesn't cover her husband. Take a listen to this.
Senator Coburn, we need help. My husband has traumatic brain injury. His health insurance will not cover too. I've been working with him, but I'm not a speech pathologist, a professional that takes 6 years for a master's, and I'm trying to get him to eat and drink again.
Well, I think, first of all, yeah, we'll help. The first thing we'll do is see what we can do individually to help you through our office. But the other thing that's missing in this debate is us as neighbors helping people that need our help. The idea that the government is the solution to our problems is a very inaccurate statement.
All right, and I agree with that. What he's saying is he obviously felt empathy for the woman. It was sad and said, you know, neighbors helping neighbors, and we'll try to see what we can do for you, but the government is not the answer, and I think the government is not the answer either. Here's what I think was one of the blunders of the day. Did you know that there were inmates that got stimulus checks? Oh, yes. Dozens of them got $250. Why? Because somehow it was a debacle. Somehow they didn't know they had these Social Security numbers, whatever. They sent them off to these people in the prisons. That's the kind of things that happen with government. Yes, there is human error, and yes, things can happen, but we're constantly hearing about things like that. And who do you want to trust your health care to, for goodness sake? Yes, there should be the tweaking of health care in this country. There should be. And as I said, insurance is one of the areas, absolutely. And the costs, but part of the problem is what we've been carrying on our backs for so long, for decades and decades and decades, that have pushed the costs out of control. And certainly nobody wants to see those premiums go sky high. That's why there is a need for, as I said, tweaking. In the meantime, while everybody is reacting to health care, there are more marches being planned on Washington. And you had Russ Feingold, who's came out and said he's very pessimistic that health care reform is even going to pass this year anyway. There is all this outcry. So I would say to the people that have gone to the town hall meetings, the people that have sent emails and have written to their senators and their congresspeople, good for you. Because, once again, the people who speak, the people who press, things change. People believe they can't affect change, but that's not true. You can if you push enough, because nobody wants to look bad. These elected people want to stay in office. So when there is a push, it can't get slid under the door. That's ultimately what I think they were trying to have happen in Congress was, oops, okay, we're going to hurry up and pass this thing, and no one's going to really look at this, but, you know, shame on them. Of course, that's what happened. It's crazy. With no thought into some of the things that were being discussed, just quick, long committee meetings, throwing together bills that don't, to this moment, make sense, and then thinking that they can get one by on the people, and they couldn't. So good for all of you, whether your anger bubbled over the top and you were hoping to be more calm or whatever, good for you for speaking out. You can always do that on America Tonight at 800-259-5791. I'll meet you on the flip side.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
This convention, long after the signs come down and the crowd stop cheering and the band stop playing, may it be said of our campaign that we kept the faith. May it be said of our party in 1980 that we found our faith again. And may it be said of us, both in dark passages and in bright days, in the words of Tennyson that my brothers quoted and loved, and that have special meaning for me now. I am a part of all that I have met. Too much is taken, much abides. That which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. For me, a few hours ago, this campaign came to an end. For all those whose cares have been our concern, the work goes on, the cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die.
All right, that was Ted Kennedy, 1980 Democratic Convention, and you heard him say that's the end, and the dream shall never die. That was the famous line from that speech. Ted Kennedy, again, passing away from the brain cancer that it was announced that he had over a year ago in May. And he had taken a very bad turn for the worse. One of his pushes was for health care reform. And we know that there's a massive tug of war in this country over whether or not the government should be involved in health care reform, and that there should ultimately be a card in your wallet that every single one of us should have, that we should all be covered. I mean, it'd be great if everybody were covered, but I don't like the idea of the public option. I mean, all of you by now, if you've listened to America Tonight, you know where I stand. And the idea of how you're going to pay for it, and the small business person, and then the jobs that are costs, and all that stuff that they cannot prove to me would run smoothly. So now there's word that a Democratic member of the gang of 6 senators charged with coming up with a bipartisan solution to health care reform said at a town hall meeting the other day that he would support using the budget reconciliation process. Ugh. to push a bill through the Senate if necessary. Now, so everybody knows what this is, because this has been talked about just a little bit. You might have heard it. I don't know if I mentioned, I think I've mentioned it on this show, but reconciliation basically means you're going to eat it. It means really, America, you don't want it. Tough darts. We're going to shove it through. Reconciliation is a parliamentary procedure that allows Democrats to pass health care reform with 51 votes, meaning they could do it without any Republicans, right? So this Senator Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico has been one of the three guys participating in the Finance Committee negotiations, and he's willing to consider reconciliation now. So that's another sign that a bipartisan deal is probably impossible. They're at an impasse because the GOP isn't going to budge on this one, or so it looks like. And what he's saying is, look, we made a provision in the budget resolution that it could be used to try to enact health care provisions related to health care reform. There are restrictions on what you could include, but he would support it if that's the only way. Now, keep this in mind. So that happens. If it does go through the House, the problem is then the Senate, and I don't see that happening, but it is pretty scary that they would shove it through. If the Democrats go it alone, the Republicans, some of the Republicans like Olympia Snow or Susan Collins would be out of that process, obviously. So the reconciliation is a pretty tough road to hoe, but it puts pressure on the Republicans who are considering supporting it. So the Republicans who are considering supporting it, it's an idea, it's a way to kind of get them to ante up, to say, okay, I give, I'm gonna work with you, we're gonna put this together, and I'm all aboard. Wow. So, man, reconciliation, I'd hate to see that happen. I think it's bad, period. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, whatever. I hate the idea that the American people would have this thing rammed through the House and then we see where it lies in the Senate. I don't think it goes in the Senate. Jana is listening to us in the great state of Iowa. Hey, Jana.
Here again.
What'd you say, Jana? I missed that first part.
Okay, I said my comments about health care again.
Yeah.
And I would urge everyone to keep contacting their senators and their representatives throughout this whole thing, and on any piece of legislation they feel like they should. I've got a true story to tell you. I went to a political meeting in Des Moines several years back, and one of the guest speakers was a Republican representative, state representative, and she was very concerned about the poor, the elderly, and the disabled, which I admired that in her for being a Republican and having that close to her heart. And she told this story that in one of their meetings they had voted on a piece of legislation, and one of her male fellow legislators made the comment that I was going to vote against that, but I heard from my constituents, and so I changed my mind and I voted for it. And she said, oh, how many did you hear from? And she said, he kind of hung his head and looked at her, and he said, well, I got one letter from one lady that asked me to vote for it, and he said, so I did. So she said, don't think that I'm just one person and I can't change anything, because she said, it does happen. One person can change things.
Yeah, and it's true. One person can change things. That's absolutely right. I'm glad you told that story. And so imagine, Jana, the avalanche, that's what I've heard, the avalanche of handwritten mail even that they're getting. There's a break right now, but they're still getting an avalanche of mail that's arriving to the Capitol, and emails and calls and out at these town hall meetings. And you really can make a difference, because what we all have to remember, and your story emphasizes that, that these are elected officials. We are a government of the people. We live in a democracy.
Yes, and I would just urge people, it's very important to contact them about anything, even including this new deal about no raises on Social Security, or just anything that's close to your heart, you know, and that affects you or your family. You need to speak out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the great thing about living in the United States. Jana, thanks. That's what I say. I've ended the shows with it many, many times. We still live in the greatest place on the face of the earth because we can sit here and disagree, and we can dissect problems, and we can talk about what we want to see happen. You get people like Jana, who is a Democrat. You get people like Mark in New York, who's extremely off the radar passionate, which I love. I love that about Mark, who comes on and is a guy who's well read and talks about whether or not you agree with what he says. He talks about exactly how he feels and why, and that's the brilliance of this. You know, I don't want to sound like somebody who's lecturing, but it's so true. If you ever go to another country, have the chance to go to another country, and you may soak in beautiful things about their culture and whatever, you'll also see how different it is when you don't really have that kind of a voice like we do. Whether it's, you know, I went to Ecuador and the people were complaining to me about their system and how corrupt it was and how they were forced to vote. Actually, they couldn't leave the country. They have a card they carry around. And if they didn't vote, they couldn't go to Miami or go wherever. And also there was a lot of restrictions, of course, on travel and whatnot. I saw that as well in some other places that I've visited, and even Venezuela when I was in Venezuela. So, because we know Hugo Chavez, he makes all these broad, wonderful speeches, and then he controls radio, television, and the newspapers. It's state-run. State-run is different than having a free press. That's why so many of us are scared to death about the idea that you would have a fairness doctrine, because give the people what they want. If liberal talk works on the radio station, then have liberal talk. If right, so-called right talk works, if sensible common sense talk, whatever it is, it's an enterprise, it's a business, and it should not be controlled by the government. Ultimately, that's the brilliance of living in a free society. You might not agree with what people say, but you have the right to not listen to them or listen to them or choose to do whatever you want to do. I can't imagine being told what you have to do for a living or standing in line for rice and beans because you're not making very much money because you live in Cuba and they didn't pick you to be a doctor. So you had to follow whatever the plan was. Can you imagine? Unfortunately, no shuttle launch. I'll tell you why it got capped and what the reset position is if you're like me and you kind of dig that space stuff. That's coming up on the flip side.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, was written for anyone who wants to survive the upcoming and ongoing financial storm. Get prepared and go to hereswhatyoudo.net and buy the $6 book. He is also trying to help us by running for Congress to stop the thievery and loss of liberties. Please arm yourself with his guide and go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
And the witch hunt that's already started, and it's interesting the comments on the people that are getting thrown under the bus. I'm sure now, as I mentioned before, they're probably lawyering up. See, that's the sad part of this. And from what I can understand, and you'll hear this coming up, from what I could glean is you work for the CIA, right? And whether it's in the field or at the desk or doing research, I mean, there's a million different capacities you could fill for the CIA. It's not all spy game stuff. I mean, it's related to intelligence, obviously, getting the information. But because of things that have happened in the past, investigations, I think a lot of the members of the CIA always want to know where they can go. Where is that line? How far? I said this before. They're playing in, whether we like it or not, America, they're playing in a gray area. So you tell somebody, well, we want to be safe. Okay. We had people that attacked us on our soil, and we were asleep at the wheel. They were able to get flying lessons and not have to learn how to land. They were able to do whatever they wanted to in this country. And then they flew planes into buildings and laughed in our faces and did it in New York, in Washington, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, because of the people that plane went down. Otherwise, who knows where that would have ended up in D.C. And there were supposedly other places that were targets across the country. But not to bring out every detail of 9/11, but ultimately because of that, we know that all of a sudden all of us are afraid. All of a sudden people are worried. And then the discussions begin about, well, geez, what do we do? How do we stop this? How do we get to Al-Qaeda? How do we get to the Taliban? How do we get to these people? That was the discussion, if you remember. So there was a gray area, and there always has been a gray area that the CIA plays in. If you say, and you're the president, and you're the Congress, and this is it, here's the rule, here's what it is, then, and you cannot do this, you cannot do that, that's different. But when you're telling people, this is methods of interrogation, here's the memos, here's the legality of it, because they all want backup. They want that piece of paper. It's like that line in, what was it, Patriot Games, if you remember, where Harrison Ford is going to be outed, basically, dangling. And the one bad guy in the CIA opens up his safe and he has a piece of paper saying pretty much he's absolved of this terror group, this covert group, rather. And he's got the president's signature on it. And he says, do you have one of these? And he, of course, he doesn't. And so ultimately, a lot of the people that were in the interrogators or they were involved in some other way with what was happening with the, quote, high-level detainees, I think they were following orders. They were trying to play in the gray area as they were told to do. And now some of them, if there are criminal prosecutions, could go to jail for it. Who wants to work for the CIA? What does the CIA stand for? And that's why you see Panetta furious. I heard he was screaming his head off at the White House. That's not a juicy rumor. That's fact. He was furious when all this was happening. And now here it is. And you have a special prosecutor, and we don't know where it's going to go. Anyway, I'm veering off and getting way too deep on the soapbox. I'm planting my feet, and I can't help it because this, of all the things that we talk about on this show, this annoys me to no end. Gee, we want to be safe, but people were tortured. This isn't right. You threatened the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was the mastermind of 9/11 and the blood in our streets. You told him you were going to kill his family. That is unacceptable. That's beyond what was in the manual. So as a result, here's the stage that we're where we are. We're at the stage of, I think, more people, and from what I've heard, trying to get away from the CIA because they don't want to be in that position. They don't have the money. They've got families and lives. They don't have the money to lawyer up and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to defend themselves. And, you know, we're talking about a handful of people at the CIA, and the morale, I heard, is so incredibly low. So Richard Haass, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, was on a cable show today, and he talked about this, just a quick thing first. He talked about this being like deja vu.
This has got to be a deja vu day there. There's got to have been a sense of being there, done that. Every time the CIA operates in the gray area, when it's operational, people operate there. When the political winds change, the context change, individuals get caught out.
And that's what he's saying is the administrations change and the feelings of the people change. After 9/11, even the most liberal person was concerned about their safety. And certainly the same with anybody else. But they weren't talking about, geez, what are the methods? You know, somebody I know was killed in the World Trade Center. No, it was about how are we getting these guys? What are we doing? So here's what Haass said ultimately about what we really should be talking about with the CIA and, unfortunately, where we're at.
In some areas, when I say it's the gray area, in other areas, though, what comes through these memos is the CIA asking for guidance because they didn't want to get caught. You basically have them saying, give us clarity. Tell us what we can't do. And instead, you get, well, there's areas of interpretation. These are aggressive techniques. There's various points of view. They knew they were operating. It's okay. Most of the people I know on the operational side are prepared to push things until they know it's explicitly illegal. But they're prepared to operate until they're told to stop. What's happened here, though, I think, is a situation where, again, the rules seem to be changing somewhat, and these people feel that they are vulnerable. Let me say one other thing. Again, it's so American. Here we are thinking of prosecutions and criminalizations. For what it's worth, me, the foreign policy guy, thinks the real issue should be what works. What have we learned that works? What are we then prepared to do as a national security matter and say we're prepared to pay a reputational cost if, in order to do certain techniques because we believe they will save American lives? That, to me, is a serious national security debate that we need to have.
Yeah, he's right. What is it you're willing to do, to say, is acceptable to save lives, and what is not? And were the interrogations successful? And according to many, they were. That's how they got the information that stopped many, many attacks. So if that's the truth, if there are things that were stopped, then you go back to the same question. What is necessary? What is acceptable? What is not acceptable? And now we know with this administration, and I guess moving forward, it's the interrogation methods in the Army manual. So there won't be any of the things that happened before. No hint of a waterboarding or stripping somebody naked and having them be cold or whatever. That's not even something that will happen moving forward. Obama said he wanted to move forward. He knew the CIA was in a panic. Panetta was upset. And still, Eric Holder pursues this as the attorney general, and now with the special prosecutor. And he said after poring over the material, he felt like he had to do something. And what they had to do was appease the extremely left people in the country who were furious. And, you know, frankly, I don't blame them. They were furious because they elected Obama on promises of not accepting torture and all of the other things that he threw out as red meat to the people who would vote for him. And then, of course, that's not what's happening. So they want theirs. They want, you know, gay marriage and we shouldn't have had torture and we got to go after those Bush bad guys. I mean, that's the reality. That's what it is. And we want free health care. We should have health care. Why doesn't everybody in this country have health care? All of the things that the people who voted for him wanted, and what he stumped on when he was going across the country and giving these great big speeches that so many people were just giddy about, they want the promise. They want the delivery of what Obama was offering. So this is how you split it. This is what you do in playing Solomon in government politics. Okay, so Obama doesn't want to go back on his promise to the CIA. So Holder is disassociated. Well, he's the attorney general. He's pursuing that. That's his deal. That is, we don't have the final say on that. It has nothing to do with the White House. I'm standing by what I said. I don't want to go back into the coffers. I don't want to go back to the Bush days and try to reopen these cases. But too late, so sad. That's exactly what's happening. Now, I got an avalanche of mail from many of you. I'm going to give you a couple samples of that. You can send me an email anytime, americatonight.net. Maybe you missed something that we talked about. Maybe you hear it on the night that I'm off because America Tonight is 6 days a week. And I know sometimes I'll get emails from people. On the question of reopening torture, here's three I got. One from Pam. Pam says, Kate, I heard you talking the other night about torture. I heard you saying that there was this gray area and reopening it was against what Obama originally said, and the CIA is scared to death. And I say, as much as I like listening to your show, tough. They did things that I think were inhumane, unacceptable, as somebody who lives in the United States. And I say, try them. Unearth anything you can from the previous administration. See, and I say, Pam, thanks for the opinion. I disagree. I say you're going back, and it's you're going back on your word of saying you're not going after these people, and they were just following orders, unless you uncover something else that has nothing to do with that. Here's one from Brian, and Brian says, thumbs up. I agree with you, Kate, 100%. It's ridiculous. Who would want to work for the CIA anyway? Any of those people that put themselves through all of that nonsense should try to find another job and leave as soon as possible. Because if they're not thrown under the bus this time around, as you like to say, they will be the next time. Stay with us as we clean it up on the flip side.
I'm a politician.
If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, RMApply.com has a message that is vitally important for you and your family.
Did you know that you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM benefits? Visit rmapply.com and apply for free to see how much you are entitled to. Right now, people just like you are taking advantage of their benefits and using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, and support this show's sponsors. You may be entitled to hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's your money, and you're entitled to it. Apply for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Or call them today for a free no-obligation evaluation to see how much you qualify for. Call 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155 today.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Talking about the swine flu, the scary headlines. Half of us could come up with the swine flu and the 90,000 could die from the swine flu. A lot of people don't want to take the vaccination. Right now it's not being forced. In fact, there's not even enough doses. In fact, there is no vaccine that is available and won't be available until October. My concern is the lack of testing, just this hurry up, quick, spit it out testing thing. And people think about some of the side effects of vaccinations, like the temporary paralysis deal in 1976. And worse than that, a lot of the people who died, actually, if you remember Fort Dix, when they had the outbreak. So, of course, there's reasons for concern. There's reasons also, kids, especially in schools, they're like petri dishes. They pick up anything that comes along, period, any kind of a flu, cough, all that stuff, they pick it up from the people in their classes and whatnot. The key is to be as clean, obviously, as possible so those germs don't spread. Who knows, if people are panicked enough, we might see people walking around with a lot of masks like we did in Mexico. Me personally, I think it's a lot of hype and it's a hoax that's been perpetrated on a lot of the American people. If you look at the other strains of flu, and in, obviously influenza, that has killed people every single year. Did I think it needed to be raised to a pandemic, to a sixth? I would say no. And who's making the money off of this? Well, the drug companies are making the money off of this. We'll see where it plays, but I think it's, remember all the hype over the bird flu, and of course there are more people that now have died from the swine flu, but I think it's more hyperbole than anything else. Just my two cents. The CIA, of course, I guess that's what I get paid for, right opinion. The CIA is ridiculous, outrageous, and nonsensical. To me, it's a waste of money to have the Attorney General, set up a special prosecutor and go on this witch hunt of guys who I believe are following the rules. If they're going after people and they were dancing in the gray area, then they absolutely have to go for the top dogs, period, end of story. Can't be the interrogators, can't even be the people who crafted the memos, in my opinion, because they went through the necessary channels to do that. Now we hear also, too, that the CIA interrogators, as is typical, got very little training. So there's what? Not the right kind of training, but, geez, we want you to get any information you can get out of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed because we're scared to death that our bridges in New York are going to be blown up. Listen, I can remember, because I was living in New York and New Jersey, I can remember having to figure out, first of all, figure out if I could go over the bridge that day because they had times where they closed bridges down because they thought that there was going to be possibly a threat. I can remember being on the subway and seeing wall-to-wall cops with drug-sniffing dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs all over the place. There were all kinds of crazy things that happened in the city, but not so crazy because there was anthrax, remember, and there were serious threats that were being leveled. So with just 2 weeks of training, that's what they got. About half the time that somebody compared it to in an article I read today, half the time it would take you to become a truck driver. That's the CIA certifying their spies as interrogation experts after September 11th. See, this is what happened. Everything had to be cobbled together, pulled together. We had our pants down as a nation that's in these organizations. The FBI, the CIA, everybody, they weren't even sharing information. Otherwise, some of the guys that were part of those flights would have been caught. But people weren't paying attention to that. They being the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, any of the jihadists caught America completely off guard. That's exactly what happened. So did the interrogators go too far beyond what they were given under the guidelines, what they're calling flexible guidelines? Now we have these unclassified documents that everybody's trying to dissect, the simulated drowning techniques of waterboarding, the mock executions, the family members being threatened, all that sort of stuff. So there certainly wasn't clarity in any of this, right? Now, the interrogators had to sign documents saying they understood the rules and they would comply with them, but they were also given the room to improvise and make decisions about how much humanity to show to terror detainees, right? So in this, how far is too cold? It's like somebody said, how cold is cold? If you're trying to freeze a room or make a room cold, is cold life-threatening? How are you deciding that? The power drill thing, what's that about? I mean, how really threatening was it or wasn't it? They're going to have to dissect every single thing. There are going to be a lot of people that will be investigated as a result of this. But you come back to the same thing. Should the U.S. pursue the CIA interrogators? And you know what I have to say? I have to say no. that they shouldn't do this. And in fact, the president wanted to move forward. Now they're not moving forward. And plus, it'll also look ugly on the United States. All the information now, once again, and it'll be played out everywhere. It'll be poured out of newspapers everywhere, all over, from the Middle East to Europe to everywhere in between. So it just will make ugly results. It'll make ugliness, rather, that will be spread out there that's harmful once again to the United States. Now, I got an email from somebody who said, look, Kate, anyone who breaks the law needs to be held accountable, even those who claim to have changed the law. It's so unlike you to take this direction, especially, you know, you're from a family of lawyers, as I've heard you say a couple of times on the show. Definitely I'm from a family of lawyers, but the problem is the interpretation of the law, the interpretation of what could and couldn't be done. That's the thing, right? That's the deal. Do we want to become tyrants? Do we want to not be the civilized people that we are, which is why people hunger to live in the United States? Yes, we are a country of laws, absolutely. But I can't imagine, first of all, we know that now that we've got this Army manual thing, obviously nobody's going to go beyond that, because I think, if anything, that you're going to have people that are going to be a little bit hanging in the weeds in interrogations, because they're not going to want to be thrown under the bus again. Right? So we'll see what the punishment is that ultimately is meted out. Like I said, I know there are opinions bubbling out all over the place on this one. So send me those emails, americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Trust me, this will play out for a very long time, because I don't think this is something that's going to go away quickly. This investigation is going to take... You know, this is going to take some time. And will they ultimately lead to people doing jail time? You know, who's to say? Is it just going to be the show, or is it going to be people that will ultimately be locked up as a result of that? And lastly, on this note, I end. Can you imagine if you won $260 million in the Powerball? A guy from South Carolina who retired won the Powerball. A former state employee, and what was interesting, one, that he came forward, but also that he didn't think the money will change him. I hate to tell him the money's going to change him. Could be in a good way, I'm not saying negative. It would change me, it would change you. Do you think you would not go wherever you wanted to go, live wherever you wanted to live? I would say absolutely when you think of that amount of money. Even if he donates a lot of money to charity, which would be a good thing, which is what he said he would do, he'll still have plenty of money for himself. I'm just surprised that instead he didn't hire a lawyer, put it in a trust. Therefore, he wouldn't be bombarded with emails, because everybody's going to be his distant cousin in the very near future. Food for thought if you happen to win a big lottery.
Handle the truth.